WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Could remember everything inside of me, just wanted to fit in.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GerwickNon.net, rockradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or on Twitch, thanks so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, we're here. We're live. It's the Rack Radio Show. How's everybody out there in Radio Land? You can tweet us at Rack Radio Show and at Wild Talk Radio and at Lindsay Ward, or come to Gerwick.net, rackradioshow.com, or wildtalkradio.com, or where we're streaming on twitch.tv/WTR live to interact with us on the show.
And, well, if you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at fightboot.com as well. And we have an exciting show because we have lots of wrestlings to talk about, but we had an exciting day because y'all, we have an interview for you next
Say
week.
Say what?
We had the pleasure of talking to Ken and Anita Corsini from HGTV's Flipper Flop Atlanta, which their new season debuts next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern on HGTV, so check that out. We will be releasing the interview on Wednesday for your listening pleasure, so you can check out the Rack Extra section for that. They were awesome, and we got a lot of good stuff out of them, so you definitely want to check it out. And we just didn't talk about design and houses. We talked a little football, talked a little day off stuff, you know, fun stuff like that, so check it out.
So yes, that's available on Wednesday afternoon, rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com. It'll be the Rack Extra, Flip or Flop, Atlanta. You don't want to miss it with the Corsinis right here on the Rack.
And okay, a big thanks to HGTV for that interview as well. So, we don't really have any news tonight. We're doing a little bit different because we do have a lot to get into, so no news, sadly, so, but check out the new sponsors, Gerwick.net and fightboot.com anyway, because they're awesome. So, we're just going to jump right into the Mixed Match Challenge.
It is time to mix it up.
You don't scare me, big boy. Let's
You just listen to me and do exactly as I say, and we'll become Mixed Match Challenge champions. So, put her there.
It's the Mixed Match Challenge recap.
So the moment we've been all waiting for a long time finally happened in the Mixed Match Challenge. We had Bayley and Finn as a team, y'all.
They wore each other's jackets. Shut up with that.
They were two sweeting. They were doing the joint entrance together. It's Finn and Bayley. It was everything you wanted.
Finn got really excited for the inflatable men, which, context, phrasing, all the things. But yes, he got very excited for Bayley's inflatable tube men, which doesn't sound much better.
It doesn't. He got excited for the Bayley buddies.
None of this is helping. None of this is helping at all. We're just making it worse. Anyway, moving on. They wore matching jackets. Did we mention that?
It was each other's jackets, not matching.
Each other's jackets. Yeah. I'm sorry, but is that wholesome and pure? That's good, right? That's wholesome and pure. We're totally not taking this down a path.
That was the only thing. No, anyway.
See, this is what happens when you watch Total Divas. This is what happens.
Oh, if you haven't checked out the Rack Extra Review of Total Divas season 8, episode 3, where there's sex on the beach, you might want to check it out. Available now at rackradioshow.com. Anywho, so Finn and Bayley defeated Alicia Fox and Jinder Mahal. I'm just done with Mahashanti, or whatever the hell it is. Mahalisha.
They tried something. I don't feel like it really worked. I mean, I applaud them for doing something different and trying a new pair and all that good happy stuff, but yeah, that this was just like this is not working.
Done.
Again, it's like I would have been fine if you didn't have kind of the back and forth between Alicia and Samir. So it's like if it had just been, you know, they had all been one cohesive unit, it would have been fine. And I still feel like you could have told the story between Jinder and Alicia, and maybe you can on regular TV, where it's Jinder tries to help Alicia find inner peace and Alicia sort of, you know, causes Jinder to go a little crazy.
I don't need any more Jinder. We can be done with Jinder. I'm done. They did close-up shots of his back, and just anyway, moving on to the fun matchup. It was the Uso, Jimmy Uso, and his wife Naomi taking on R-Truth and Carmella. No, that wasn't R-Truth and Carmella. That's next week. Why am I drawing a blank? Lana and Rusev. That's what it was. Lana and Rusev. So many promos on that show. Lana and Rusev took on Naomi and Jimmy Uso. There was a dance-off with Lana and Naomi.
Can we stop at that? I mean, can we really stop at that?
You know what we can stop with? Hearing that Michael Cole won a dance-off against Naomi. Megan Cole mentioned at least 4 times in 3 minutes. Can we stop? It's enough. He mentioned it last week. Can we mention it this week multiple times? It's enough, Cole. Yes, you won a dance off against Naomi, supposedly.
Vintage Cole.
But the mid match dance off was fine. It was comic relief, which is what this show is. The Uso was mentioning Milwaukee. He got slapped in the face for it. In the end, Naomi and the Uso got the win. As there's Milwaukee troubles for Rusev and Lana. So that's Mixed Match Challenge in a nutshell. Next week, R-Truth and Carmella take on Phenomenal Flair, where R-Truth believes that Carmella is facing Ric Flair.
Oh, truth.
And it will be Finn and Bayley against Braun and Ember. Should be interesting. Should be an interesting showdown next week.
Should be an interesting showdown, and well, we'll have to see how it goes. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Should be a fun time had by all.
Which is the whole point of this.
It is the whole point of it. This show is fun. It's fun and enjoyable. It's a quick 30 minutes.
It's an easy 30 minutes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, you just sit there, you watch it. There's no real storylines behind it, even though there are. It's just them going out there, screwing around.
And having fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's just them going out there and having fun. It's the easiest 30 minutes you'll ever spend.
Pretty much.
So, Mayan Classic?
It's time for this week's Mae Young Classic Catch-Up.
Your girl Toni Storm was in action this week.
My girl Toni Storm was in action this week. I got to see her. Yay! She was tired afterwards, but she looked good doing it.
I enjoyed this whole episode all together because you got to see, it was the second round we saw this week, I believe it was. Yeah, it was the second round. So,
yeah.
Which is cool. It's like we're moving on. It was Toni Storm and Hiroyo Matsumoto. Really good.
A really good match.
Really good. Really good match. Very enjoyable. Which saw Toni Storm move on in the second round. Good stuff.
Oh, good stuff. Hey, Devils fan, I promise you Pete Dunne does it better than Randy Orton. Just saying.
The biting. Yeah.
Watching your thing.
Casey Catanzaro took on Rhea Ripley. Good match. Good solid match.
For a second, I kind of like panicked. Because I was like, oh god, is this the match with Nixon Newell? And then I was like, no, that's later. That's like the third round.
Yeah, that's the third round. But Rhea Ripley moved on. Solid.
Solid match. I mean, she's moving forward. She's grown a lot since last year, which is nice.
In what was the weakest match of the four, Lacey Lane and Tanara Conti.
An interesting contest.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was what it was. Lacey Lane got the win, but they both need some work. This is the best way to... They need more experience.
They're both still growing.
Yes. They're growing as performers. And then Mercedes Martinez versus Mika Satomura. Hell of a match.
Mercedes!
Hell of a match.
So good. So freaking good.
I would say Toni Storm had the better match to me, but this was right up there.
You had a really good solid opening and closing contest on this show, and... Yeah, this was beautiful to watch. I enjoyed this thoroughly.
And Miko got the win over Mercedes.
Which makes me sad, but it's okay because she had a great showing.
She had a really good showing. Maybe they'll bring her in as a trainer this time around. Maybe they'll bring her in as a performer. I don't know. But hopefully they do something with Mercedes going forward. Possibly.
I thought they had.
It feels like it's up in the air sometimes with her. Sometimes they do, and then sometimes they feel like they're going to do something, but they don't. Then again, they have so much talent.
They do. But I mean, it's like they have... She could like just benefit their women's division huge, and their men's division as well, but mainly their women's division. She could do a lot to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they need a lot of help, of course, but you know, just the industry knowledge and experience that she could bring to the table would be incredible because she is so good at what she does.
Yeah. All right. So that was the Mae Young catch-up.
NXT!
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Can we talk about how they got rid of Candace's good music?
I know.
F's in chat for the music. I mean, she had some really good upbeat music, and then they got rid of it, and I don't know why. I don't think it was an outside song. I think it was they wanted to create something different.
I feel like they're taking her in a different direction. I feel like maybe she's going in a more serious direction.
Yeah, but the music was so good. It was upbeat and just... I don't know. I enjoyed it.
I know, and I wouldn't disagree. I feel like it fit her to a T, but at the same time, it's like they're trying to create their own incarnation of Candice LeRae, and part of that is they have to swap out her music.
Yeah, I know. I just... Really good.
It was really good.
She took on Lacey Evans. Lacey at one point brought up Johnny, and that pissed Candice off. And she laid into her, and then, well, Lacey laid into Candace with the women's right and got the win.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. But to open the show, forgot all about it. Nikki Cross has a spooky room of her own now.
I'm okay with this.
All smoke and everything. And she wants to play more with Bianca. And then she goes off, I know. Because she knows who'd be to attack the Alistair. But she has her little cubbyhole now.
I really love what they're doing with Nikki Cross. I know we were all upset she didn't go up with Sanity, but I feel like it's now well worth it seeing what they're doing with her and the fact that they're making her own entity as opposed to just being the chick in the group.
And you said seeing, right? We're not seeing Sanity, so...
Yeah, they're not on TV, so the fact that Nikki Cross is now being featured on NXT... as a player in that organization, I feel like that's a much better purpose for her than being on a non-existent group at this point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I'm just seeing pictures that are coming out from the tapings with her and what they're doing with her moving forward, and I am 1,000% on board with what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I don't have context, but she's like, I've seen pictures of her with Tommaso Ciampa in the ring, and I've seen pictures of her with Aleister Black in the ring. So yeah, don't know what's going on there, but I want to find out. Like, the fact that they have her, that they're writing her like this, that she's being a part of the story. And she knows who did it, right? She knows who did it, but nobody can get it out of her. Or maybe Aleister Black can.
We had an awesome video interview with the three men, Adam Cole, Peter Dunne, and Ricochet, and they all talked about the North America Championship and how they're going to win it, or keep it, as it were, in the battle, I believe, next week.
Yeah.
Ciampa cut a promo, talk about Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black.
Talk about being at the top of your game, Tommaso Ciampa, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Tommaso Ciampa.
The Forgotten Sons beat three guys.
You know, I'm kind of okay that they're moving the Forgotten Sons forward. I'm really okay with this. It's like, all right, I'm kind of digging it.
Kathy Kelly interviewed Nikki Cross about wanting to play with Bianca and Belle. She doesn't want to care about the game. She's just undefeated. And she, well, is going to embarrass Nikki Cross and remain undefeated.
I really need Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks to find each other. I just really kind of need that in my life. I know it's not going to happen for a while, mm-hmm. but I feel like the entire wrestling community would benefit if that were to occur. Just saying.
Johnny Gargano took on Tony Nese. Good match. Johnny got the win.
Surprised to see Tony down in NXT, but it's a good use for him. And yeah, the match was fantastic. I mean, couldn't you expect anything less from these two?
No, you really couldn't. Really good match. And then you had your main event, EC3, Lars Sullivan. Solid matchup between the two men with Lars Sullivan getting the win.
I enjoyed the match. It was good. It was entertaining.
So Lars Sullivan keeps moving on, and EC3 needs to regroup and sort of find himself.
And I hope he does, and I hope he continues to be the cocky bastard that we all know and love, because Ethan. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like that they're moving Lars forward. I still can't get over, like, how much Lars sounds like Kane. Like, I just can't get past that. It's, like, legit, the vocabulary and everything, the voice. He opens his mouth and speaks. I'm like, why is Kane on my... Oh, wait, that's not Kane.
It's gotta be. No, it's not Kane.
No.
No.
But he does the red, so maybe he could be like Kane's son?
Maybe. Possibly. Maybe one day.
No. Who was Kane's bastard son on NXT? Oh, crap. What was his name? The one that was with the French dude. He was Marcus Louis?
Marcus Louis, yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually Kane's bastard son, but not really, but that's what I called him. Cause he did. He, especially when he shaved his head and he was going walking around all psycho in just his like dress pants. Mm-hmm. It was like corporate Kane 2.0, super skinny, and he looked like a younger version of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was scary how much he looked like him.
It was. But I said we take a break. Our own one and only timeout of the evening.
All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Super Showdown, which airs Saturday. If you're awake for it, it'll be in the morning.
At the butt crack of dawn.
At the butt crack of dawn. If not, it's going to be on demand. We're talking all about it next. But you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
October 5th, it's the WWE 2K19 launch party. Join us for live gameplay of the brand new WWE video game. WWE 2K19. Random matches, my career mode and more. Join us at twitch.tv/WTRLive. October 5th, 11 a.m. Eastern. It's our WWE 2K19 launch party on twitch.tv/WTRLive.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Eddie might have himself some cigs. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Dream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a
Camel Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming. No one's turning. And I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. Alright, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking. About to get plowed by fucking three 18 wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight. We're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself... Maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to reference over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, recradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. We are back. We are getting ready to talk about Super Showdown. But before we get there, tweet of the week.
Used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Okay, so I have to set up these first two tweets. So if you're not a fan of Fortnite and you don't follow the game, the creator of the game, Epic Games, has put together a contest called the Fall Skirmish, where the players compete, or a selected group of players compete every Friday live on stream for the world to watch. But in the meantime, during the week, they do qualifying rounds for the rest of the groups. And they have to do certain challenges through the week.
Which are called trials.
Yeah, which are called trials. And so this week, one of the trials was, and I have to applaud Epic for this, because they literally got the best gamers in the world to build an Eiffel Tower and dress up in cosplay as their favorite character in the game. The best gamers in the world did this, y'all. The people at Epic are evil geniuses, and I love them.
All about that money.
Yeah, they are all about that money, man. So first up, Courage. Tfue, who's one of the gamers, really going to win the cosplay competition because he was birthed as a default skin. I'm low-key heated my parents didn't make me look like a Fortnite skin 24 years ago. Courage again. I have to be honest with you guys. I ended tonight's stream, went to get cookies and cream ice cream that I topped with chunks of Butterfingers, Kit Kats, and Snickers. I have no regrets. Dude, I wouldn't be either, you know? Sometimes you do you. Sasha Banks tweets out a picture of Mark Ruffalo being at New York Comic Con, going, oh my god, 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 in audible, like, letters, followed by, help, what do I do? Ah. And then, you know, she's basically freaking out, and people are like, oh my god, Sasha's me, you know, when I meet wrestlers. And she's like, I mean, don't tweet him. I don't want him to think I'm weird. And then she follows it up with, you guys, tweet him. I'm shy. I wonder if she got to meet him today or not, because she was at Comic-Con today, so wonder if she got to meet him.
Maybe.
Maybe. Sasha's got the Mark Ruffalo love, and I don't blame her.
At least she's out about doing things. I mean, all that fun stuff.
All that fun stuff. So, yeah. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
As I went to her Twitter to see if she actually got to meet him. But nowhere to be found at the moment. Oh, and apparently he doesn't have Twitter anymore. Or he's no longer using his Twitter.
Who?
Mark Ruffalo.
He probably went inactive because the movies are all out. Like, generally, he only pops up on social.
No, he put out, like, a statement on it. I was reading her Twitter, so.
Oh.
Since we're on that thing. I will be cutting back on my social media time to focus on a few things I want to put more of my attention on. With much gratitude and love until we meet again. on March 1st. I don't know if he's tweeted since then. No, he's back on Twitter as of 11 hours ago. Just enough time for her, Sasha, not to stalk him. Anyway, we move on. Tweet of the week. Courage. If you're having a bad day, then just remember it can't get worse than Nick Merckx buying a used Wii off of eBay for $700.
They are never going to let that go. They are just, he is going to hear about that till the day he dies.
So legit.
And then they'll be standing over him, and they'll be like, hey, you remember that time Nick bought a $700 Wii?
Mm-hmm. So legit, a dude bought a Wii, the original Wii, off eBay for $700. Why?
Dude, if he wanted a Wii that bad, I'd sell him my old one for like $20.
You can buy the one on eBay for like $35.
I mean, shit. It just, what? Just, Nick, I know you have money, dude, but come on.
Dr. Lupo. Hey, real Donald Trump, can you use that thing to plug Twitch Prime for me? Thanks.
He's talking about the presidential alert.
Yeah.
Which I did not get, by the way.
You're like the only, one of the only people who did it.
And I'm not sure why I didn't get it beyond I think I have those alerts turned off, and that's probably why.
But even then, I think you should still get it. And no, it was not made out of 14 karat gold. Not SportsCenter. Report after yet another loss, the Browns have sent a request to the NFL asking to allow them to schedule the Jets 16 times next season. Someone named Michael tweets, hey, Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce, who's in charge of booking matches for NXT, Raw, and SmackDown? Adam Pearce, the GM of each brand. Hello. That's Tweet of the Week.
All right, y'all. Let's talk a little about Super Showdown, which goes live in Melbourne, Australia on Saturday evening for them. And the butt crack of dawn here for us if you're on the East Coast, even earlier if you're on the West Coast. And I think it's on at like 4 or 5 a.m. live here, and then you can catch it on replay after that. So if you are the true wrestling fan and you want to get up before the crack of dawn on a Saturday morning to watch this, you are a better person than I am, because I will be rolling over in bed, opening up my phone, and watching the first little of this before I ever even get up. Look, we're not even going to lie about that.
So, the plan...
I may even get coffee first. Who knows?
The plan is to wake up, make sure the show is finished, then hit the play button and watch from beginning to end. Because I'm not getting up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I'm just... No, I'm sorry. Just no. I'm not that dedicated to this.
So, there will be no live tweets. There'll be no live tweets of my watching the pay-per-view. Because it may be done in segments throughout the day. If you're drunk tweeting, congratulations. Enjoy your drunk tweets. I will not be on Twitter until after I see the show. Thanks.
So spam is Twitter, y'all. Spam is Twitter.
The phone will be not seeing anything. So if you want to send me 17,000 notifications, great.
Do it.
I will see them about 3 p.m.
Do it. Spam his Twitter.
So for those wondering what my Twitter is, it's LINSWARD.
No, that's not your Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio.
So there you go.
If you spam my Twitter at 4 o'clock in the morning, I won't get it because I have notifications turned off. So ha! I'll just literally wake up and be like, what the hell?
There you go. So let's get into the show, shall we? Which is live on the WWE Network, as we just mentioned. So, going to go from the beginning. Anyone know if there's a pre-show? I doubt there's a pre-show for this.
There
show.
Can't be a pre-show. I think this is, because this is just like a live event that they're broadcasting on the network, I don't think there's going to be any kind of like pre-show. I don't think there's going to be any kind of like analysis show, but who the hell knows? So, yeah.
The Saudi show had a pre-show, but that was in the middle of the day. So, anyway, let's get into it from top to, or bottom to top, as I have a card in front of me. It's Naomi and Asuka taking on the Iconics. Solid build for this matchup. They had the Iconics missing with Naomi, and then Asuka made the return, and now they're feuding. Now they're in Australia, the hometown of the Iconics. I said on Sunday, I'm leaning towards the Iconics. Because Australia.
This is their first time back in Australia, right?
Yes.
So,
it's a big match situation, Maggle.
I want to go with the Iconics, but I'm going to say Asuka and Naomi.
I'm going to be team selfish points here. I'm going Iconics.
It's their hometown. They generally have people lose in their hometown, especially if they're heels. So...
Yeah, I know, but I just... I want nice things for the Iconics.
I want nice things for the Iconics, too, but I just... Something tells me that, you know, that's not what they're going to do. But we'll see.
We'll see. Then you got John Cena and Bobby Lashley taking on Kevin Owens and Elias.
I like how they have to go international to get Cena to show up.
Because it's closer to China. He did the one event in China, in Shanghai. Now he's doing the one event in Australia. And then he's going back to China. I'm ready to see the new sixth move of doom, because that's probably coming. Just based on what he did in Shanghai. It's going to be a thing, hopefully.
Yep.
I mean, this will be entertaining. Cena will be Cena. It'll be interesting to see what he looks like now, since he's apparently dropped 20 pounds.
He's a lot. I've seen pictures of him online. He's a lot leaner.
I could say he dropped 140 pounds, but...
Actually, didn't she drop him?
Oh!
Just pointing that out.
Yeah. Anyway. Match will be fine. It'll be your basic tag match. Cena will do his moves. Lashley will be in the most of the match because Lashley... Cena can't really get injured because he's filming a movie.
This will probably be really short, quick, to the point.
Elias will do his song beforehand. So, you know, you're going to get your Elias segment, then you get a little bit of a match, and Cena will probably AA Elias and get the win. I'm going Team Cena.
Yeah, I got to say Cena on this one. Selfish here, points.
He needs to finally deliver something to Team Fluffy.
Damn it.
I mean, the Fluffy part of your team is no longer around, so...
If somebody knows where Bray Wyatt is, can you throw him on an airplane to Australia and have him show up, please? He showed up for 2 seconds on Total Divas. I talked about it for 45 minutes because it's the most I've seen of Bray Wyatt in weeks, months. I think since what? Before SummerSlam? It's got to be at least since before SummerSlam since we've seen him.
The week before SummerSlam.
Where is he? I'm going to keep asking this question until he shows up on my TV. He's not even on social anymore. I'm worried for him. He went off to find himself. That's never good when he goes off to find himself.
At some point, he'll be on a milk carton.
I do have access to Photoshop. I can make that happen.
Surprise, you haven't yet.
I generally like to hold off, but I mean, we're kind of getting to that point. The last time I started to do it, he turned up on TV that night.
There you go. By the way, Asuka and Naomi for the 8-Ball and Elias and Owens from the 8-Ball. So you're going Team Cena, right?
Yep.
Ronda Rousey and the Bellas taking on the Riot Squad. I always enjoy watching Ronda perform.
It's going to be fun. How close is Evolution to this?
4 weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? And then month last Sunday, so 3 weeks away? Are we only 3 weeks away?
I think we're only 3 weeks away. They have to set up Ronda and Nikki, so I feel like they're going to use this as the place to do it.
4 weeks, we're about 4 weeks away, because we haven't hit the first Sunday, so 4 Sundays from now. 28th, so we're good. So, 24 days, yeah, they got to start it. They have to start it on Saturday. That's where I figure it's going to happen after the match. Nikki will either make a challenge or do some sort of clothesline. If it doesn't happen on Saturday, it's going to definitely happen on Monday.
Yeah, for sure.
Liv Morgan has been cleared to return to the ring, so that's good. We find 6-person tag. Ronda will get her moves in, and the Bellas will do their thing. It'll be a solid 10-minute match with the Team Rousey getting the win. The 8-Ball goes with Ronda Rousey.
I go with the 8-Ball.
The Shield take on Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. I mean, based on what happened on Monday Night Raw, where Braun Strowman and Ziggler and McIntyre laid out the Shield, think the Shield get their win back? They get their heat back?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, you've kind of got to do that where you have them come together and you have them sort of show unity. And you could even tease, again, Ambrose being Ambrose and maybe not being as much part of the Shield as we all think he is, because they're teasing something with it. I'm not sure what, but they could do that. But ultimately, the Shield gets the win.
This will be about 15-20 minutes. It'll be high impact. It'll be a lot of fun. be a good six person another again. It'll be everything on the show is going to be a good solid matchup. There won't be anything bad about it. This show is going 5 hours long, or it's being placed for 5 hours, so it could end shorter than 5 hours, but that's what it's earmarked for. I'm going Shield. You're going Shield.
I'm going Shield.
Eight ball goes Team Braun. Cruiserweight Championship. Cedric Alexander versus Buddy Murphy.
Cedric.
Buddy Murphy. Why Australia?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
He'll be the hometown guy. And Cedric's had the belt since, what, WrestleMania? It's October.
But I thought Cedric was in a feud with Gulak.
But then he beat Gulak, so that ended that. I don't know. I kind of try to keep 205 Live, but I don't watch 205 Live, so...
It would be cool if Buddy Murphy won, but I feel like... I don't know. I feel like it would be weird if he did, just because it's like it's a one-off, unless it's you build... You, that's how you start a storyline between Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander, and if that's the case, I'm fine with that.
They've had interactions where Buddy lost to Cedric before, and now, so it's like, this is his rematch. He gets his shot. I mean, it works. I just think it's a hometown pop. It's the Cruiserweight title. It's not like it means anything at this point, you know?
Oh, I know. I know, but I'm curious, that's all. It's, I want to say Buddy Murphy, but I feel like you're not going to have Buddy Murphy beat Cedric Alexander here.
Cedric by you, Cedric by the eight ball. I pick Buddy Murphy. SmackDown Tag Team titles are on the line. The New Day versus The Bar.
Ooh.
New Day. This is clearly the New Day's match to win. It's Super Showdown. The Bar is not playing for the tag belts. They have no teams on SmackDown. You don't need to put the belts on The Bar. New Day's fine holding the belts until they find a direction, whatever the direction may be. New Day's going to retain the belts.
Yeah, I can go with that. New Day.
Eight ball goes The Bar, though. It is the number one contenders match for the WWE Championship. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. Thoughts?
The culmination of an epic feud, perhaps?
Or just another launching point for it. Because this can go multiple ways. You can have The Miz win, feud with AJ Styles, and, you know, somehow beat AJ for the belt, and Miz and Bryan feud over the belt. You can have Daniel Bryan win, feud with AJ Styles, and The Miz cost Daniel Bryan his title match.
I almost like that better, just because it's like you give Bryan the win here. Because I feel like if you have him lose again, it's going to take some of the heat off the feud. So you give that good feel-good moment with Bryan, because it's a big enough show that you can have him beat The Miz. And then you have him move on from there for a little bit, only to have Miz come back and screw Bryan, and that's how you get to Mania with this. Because I feel like that's where they're going is Mania.
I think that, but then again, it's like, I don't know. I don't. You got a long ways to go to get there.
You do, but it's like you need to sort of wrap this up for right now, because again, you can go back to it because Bryan has resigned, so you do have time. But it's like you have, like I said, you have Bryan get their feel good moment, because I'm just talking this out as I think, so sorry if I repeat myself. But you have Bryan win, you get that happy moment of Bryan finally beats The Miz, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bryan moves on from there, and Miz can't stand it.
Then you
have Miz go for Bryan.
Then either, okay, we can go through a couple different scenarios. Miz either costs Daniel Bryan the championship, or Daniel Bryan actually gets the championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Miz has the final way to get the title match, right? To get a title shot at Daniel Bryan. And so, say, what if The Miz wins the Royal Rumble, goes on to fight Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for the championship?
I'm okay with that.
Because then you can set them on a different path for a little bit, and then after the Rumble, you bring them back together. I mean, it could work.
Oh, it could totally work. I mean, I just feel like you need to do something with here. You need to temporarily conclude it here, and then to move them on to someone else, because it's going to drag out, and they're going to take some of the stuffing out of it if they just keep hitting this over and over and over again. And it's such a good feud that it's something that you can take a break from it for a little while, move them both on, and then bring them back together in, say, around Rumble time, and do that. I mean, it's entirely possible. It's just, I feel like we've gotten four matches out of this now. I think this is the fourth.
This would be the second singles match. Third match overall when you count the mixed tag.
Yeah, this is something where you need to move away from it. Just for a minute. Just for like a little bit. Just to cool it off enough that you can bring it back up again. So I'm going Brian.
I don't remember who I picked Sunday.
Just go Brian. You know you want to.
Because I made both points on Sunday where I can go either way. I want to remember who I picked. Miz. I'll go Miz. Points.
You just have to be contrary.
Miz. Because I want points. I need Miz. So, Brent, Miz. There we go. Eight-ball picked Daniel Bryan. Okay, I picked Miz. Okay. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This has been a hell of a feud. Charlotte got some heat back on SmackDown Live, laying out Becky, after Becky was being all cocky as hell because it's Becky Lynch. She showed off her poster, which was amazing.
I want a copy of that poster, honestly.
This should be really good. It is not time to put the belt back on Charlotte. Becky needs a belt, but Charlotte's winning this match.
This is going to go. This is either not going to start and they're just going to fight, or Becky's going to do something to get herself DQ'd.
Yep. It's going to be Charlotte by DQ. Yeah.
And that's how this is going to go on, where it's just like Becky figures out a way to get away from Charlotte, and Charlotte doesn't get that revenge she wants. But I feel like this will probably be somewhat quick, because you don't want to do like the full-fledged rematch between the two. Like, you want to do just enough to tease everybody, but carry it over to the next pay-per-view if you can. Basically carry it over to Evolution if you can.
Oh, yeah,
although they're not fighting each other, are they?
There's no match yet for SmackDown Women's title, so I would assume it's these two.
But okay. So yeah, so I mean, this is something you could very easily carry through to Evolution and it'd be completely fine.
Right, because if you have the non-finish here with a DQ, you automatically set up for a rematch, which they'll go to, and they'll do Becky, Charlotte, and then they deserve to be on that show fighting each other. They do, and they should be one of the top two matches on the show. Flat out. Hell, I am always an advocate of putting Rousey in the main event because she's the biggest star. But I would put Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch as the main event of Evolution. That's how I would book it.
I'd be okay with that, honestly.
It would probably be Ronda and Nikki based on star power. But I think Becky and Charlotte deserve the opportunity to main event that show.
We'll see if you're going on name value, it's probably Ronda. But honestly, Ronda and Nikki's a one-off. And I feel like you don't want the one-off as your main event. Like, I feel like that should be high on the card because it is Ronda. But yeah, it's like it really should be the SmackDown Women's title, but it won't be. It'll be Ronda in the main event for sure. But yeah, I mean, they need to keep this simmering until they can bring it to a boil at Evolution.
No DQ, no countouts. There must be a winner.
This should have been in the cell.
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. Also, Becky Lynch by the 8-ball.
I mean, this has been a fantastic feud. This has been absolutely amazing. They've done a wonderful job building this. I just don't know where else you go after this point.
They had AJ Styles stay at home so he knew his fam until Samoa Joe was on an airplane headed to Australia. That was a cool promo, nice follow-up to Samoa Joe coming to the house and all the charges being filed and everything like that. So nice follow-up. As much as Samoa Joe needs to win the WWE Championship, he's not going to win the WWE Championship.
Damn it, I want him to. I need him to. Mama needs the points. Because my fluffy idiot is not anywhere to be seen. Half my team isn't anywhere to be seen.
If Joe doesn't win here, he'll become another Bray Wyatt.
Joe needs to win. That's just... Because again, where do you go after this? I mean, you've basically had Joe threaten AJ's family. You've had him show up at AJ's house. You can't really go much further with that because anything's going to feel like a letdown unless you have AJ reciprocate. And I doubt they're going to have him do that because he's Mr. Good Guy. So you almost have to have the distraction by Joe be enough to take down AJ. unless AJ's just so livid that this never starts. This is another one that could potentially never start. And AJ just beats the crap out of Joe. Or AJ does what he did last time, which is he gets DQ'd, but that takes all the air out of this. Because then it's like, well, where do you take this? Do you put this in a... Do you take this to Hell in a Cell? Oh, wait, we just had that a month ago. We can't do it again. So it's... You almost have to have, at least right now, Joe win in order to keep it going. Because if AJ wins, it's just... It's done. You can't... How is Joe even going to recover?
So... In 59 minutes, what drops?
2K19.
What officially drops on Tuesday?
Fortnite update.
WWE 2K19. Who's on the cover?
AJ Styles.
Which is why AJ Styles will retain the WWE Championship at Super Showdown.
Oh, by the way, we should break in. Apparently, Tom Brady just threw his 500th touchdown pass.
Woo. Woo. Again. Samoa Joe needs the WWE Championship, but AJ Styles is going to keep his belt.
But I feel like you can still have Joe win.
But you can't. You could. I mean, you could do everything. Anything you want. I just... Part of me doesn't see WWE putting that belt on Samoa Joe. I don't... Because coming out of this match, say this is the last match between the two, right? I don't have the opponent for Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship other than Daniel Bryan. And I don't know if the WWE is going to go Bryan Joe. I don't know.
I mean, I know the game drops this week, and it's really awkward timing for it, but it's like...
Matt, no disqualifications, no countouts.
In this match?
Yeah, I'm just making sure that's the stipulation. No DQ, no countout.
I mean, it would almost be hilarious, but not if AJ doesn't even get on the airplane and come over.
Here's an angle they could run. They could do a double knockout. Neither man wins... And you set up a last man standing match in Saudi Arabia. Then you can put the belt on Joe there, and you move on. That is a way to get out of it. But to me, it's going to be a clean AJ Styles phenomenal forearm, 1-2-3. He keeps his championship. So I'm going AJ.
I'll go AJ. Even though I desperately want Joe to win because I need the points, but it's going to be AJ.
The 8-ball picked AJ Styles. Then... For the last time, but the first time, and maybe one more time.
Okay, let's quantify this. The last time in singles.
It will be The Undertaker with his brother Kane against Triple H with the bald Shawn Michaels.
Shawn, what happened to your hair?
In his corner.
Oh my God, Shawn Michaels is bald. He has no more hair. I just want to point out the incredible irony of the fact that the only person in this match that really has any amount of hair is The Undertaker.
He's the only one who has natural hair.
Kane technically has natural hair under the wig. It's just short. Like, The Undertaker is the one with the most hair on his head right now.
Yeah. Natural long hair.
By the way, I just have to say this. I kind of wish The Undertaker had gotten Instagram and social media in general much earlier than he has, because honestly, the fact that Taker's been low-key throwing shade on Instagram today by posting pictures of himself tombstoning Shawn and tombstoning Hunter, we could have benefited from Undertaker throwing shade on social media for years now, and we have not had it. And it makes me really sad that we have not had that. That just to be able to benefit from the sass of that man. Mr. Calloway, sir, please, would you just continue? Just play through with this. Please, don't. It's just too good.
So the match itself will probably be really solid. They're going to have enough smoke and mirrors to make this really entertaining, which is why you have Kane there, which is why you have Shawn there. This will be... A tremendous main event. This is the match I think we're both most looking forward to seeing what actually happens, because we're headed in a direction where the bald Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement. Let that sink in.
For The Undertaker. Probably for his career.
Shawn Michaels is good. It appears to be coming out of retirement to fight again. What?
Well, you know, when Taker's going to sass you, and he's going to sass you, and he's going to sass you, sometimes you just got to smack him around and knock him back in line. And I mean, Taker's been sassing Sean pretty hard. Sean's got to, you know, he got to do the thing.
Okay. Yeah. Can I comment on something really quick?
Yes.
I love how there have been an interview has now surfaced from Shawn Michaels talking about how he got an idea, pitched him years ago, about 4 years into retirement, to fight The Undertaker. I love how this is now making circulation. When the interview came out in January, just want to point that out.
Well, you know, like you do.
Just saying, like, oh, this is exclusive comments that happened in January.
Slow news day.
Very slow news day.
But yeah, I mean, I don't care really who wins this match. I don't really care what happens in this match because I know who's involved in this. I know this is going to be incredibly solid. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to talk about it for 6 weeks. It's just going to be one of those. You just have that feeling because it is technically the last time the Hunter and Taker will ever face each other. And so you know that both of them will go all out to make sure that this is absolutely incredible. And then on top of that, you have Kane and Shawn Michaels there to just add that little extra something something to it. Not that it needs that at all, but I will take Kane and Shawn Michaels any way I can get them.
You know, there's going to be a moment where Shawn delivers sweet tune music to The Undertaker, because there'll be a ref bump. Shawn will hit his kick. Kane will chokeslam Shawn. And then, you know, you go from there, or something to that effect. On Sunday, I was leaning towards The Undertaker. After Monday night, I'm not sure I lean towards The Undertaker anymore.
Well, here's the really interesting thing about this, right? Hunter has never beaten Taker one-on-one. He's never managed it in his entire career. They did a whole match about it. And he's tried now. This will be his fourth attempt on The Undertaker to try and get that win on him in terms of these big match situations for the later career stuff. That was a really ugly fumble. That was a stupid fumble. Oh well, joke's on you. Anyway, part of me like really wants to see Hunter win, but also part of me really wants to see him not win. Like, it's just that one elusive thing Hunter could never manage, and that is to beat The Undertaker one-on-one. I really, really want Taker to win, but I don't know how you get Taker, or I don't know how you set up a tag match from there.
Which is why I get the feel, and another touchdown for the Patriots.
If anybody's interested, the score is now 37, probably 38 to 17.
Yeah. It's one of those, going in, it was a clear Undertaker's going to win because it's a one-off. And then the promos happened and the pendulum swung towards Hunter could win. The pendulum's now sort of swinging Hunter needs to win because of what happened on Monday. Then again, you can swing the pendulum back and have The Undertaker win and you go from there and you can set it up where there's a bunch of shenanigans, and you can set up a tag match if that is indeed the direction, which it appears to be.
I mean, I don't want to take it for granted, but I feel like Hunter and Shawn are going to do what Hunter and Shawn do, which is they're going to try and screw The Undertaker. We see it every time these two are with him. You know, Shawn tries to screw over Taker because that's just their history with each other.
It's the thing to do. It really is. And like,
and honestly, that's the easiest way to get to a tag match between the four, if that's where they're going, is to have Shawn and Hunter screw over Taker. But the flip side of that is Taker finds a way to win, either through Kane's assistance or on his own. He figures out a way to still beat Triple H, even with Shawn Michaels there, because he's done it twice now. Or he did it the one time.
He did it the one time with him being the ref.
At Hell in a Cell.
Greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Yes. In Hell in a Cell, I should say.
And so I feel like, could Hunter and Sean stand that? Could Sean stand that?
It's going to be, what drives Sean out of retirement? Because that's the next chapter. What button gets pushed to where Sean signs on the dotted line and fight? Something's got to happen in this situation to put Sean in the position where he has to say yes. I don't know what the button is. They're going to find one. It appears.
I feel like Taker and Kane have to win. Taker has to win to push that button for Sean. Because I feel like if Hunter wins, unless Hunter wins and Taker or Kane or both attack Hunter and Sean afterwards. But I feel like if you just have Hunter win, there's no way to get them to any further match beyond this. Unless you have Taker be the aggressor. But I don't think that's going to happen. But then again, it's like you saw that inkling, right? That little glimmer on Monday night of heel Undertaker, of heel dead man Undertaker. Like you saw that sinister son of a bee standing in that ring again. Not the legendary Undertaker, the evil bastard that terrorized the entire company for years. Years. He was there, glaring down at Hunter and Shawn Michaels on Monday night. So it's like, could Taker not be able to stand losing to Hunter? I don't know. Like, this is so hard to call because this could go either way.
And we're probably really overthinking it. But that's okay because it shows we're invested into a story and that's something that's good.
But I feel like it's been thought out to the point that it's forcing people to overthink it because it's like, okay, this is supposedly where they're going. Like they have done nothing to stop the rumor of Shawn Michaels potentially coming out of retirement.
No, they've added fuel to the fire with putting out the Fantasy Warfare match on Instagram. Who would win in a Fantasy Warfare? DX versus the Brothers of Destruction. They're going out of their way to fuel the fire.
They're stoking that thing, man. So it's like, that's where they're going.
They're going there. You had Shawn Michaels cutting a wrestling promo. You can see he's clearly been training because he looked different than 4 weeks ago.
He's bald.
Well, one, he's bald. And two, you could just see the definite, you could see he's working out more. He's been pumping and training and he's getting into fighting shape again.
You see he's moving better too.
He is moving better. It's like, you can see Sean's putting in the work. He got his main eventer tan on. He cut a main eventer style promo where there's a reason, like, Sean has no, if Sean's not doing anything, why is Sean here?
Yeah, if Sean's just there to be eye candy, then Sean should not have figured in this as much as he has. But the fact of the matter is, Hunter has been virtually non-existent in this feud. It has been all Taker and Sean.
It started with Hunter in the first promo, then Taker got his, Sean did his. And since then, you've been having a little bit, but it's like, it's now, this is on Sean, this... You didn't have Undertaker cut the promo. You didn't have Triple H cut the promo on Monday. You had Sean cut the promo on Monday. Sean set the table for the match. And then you had a physical response afterwards. But you had Sean cutting the promo. And to me, that's a sign Sean's doing something. I don't know what.
Sean's doing more than just being a candy.
Because if Sean disappears and everything like that, then it's like, okay, we got our big match here because Australia wanted, they wanted a big match for Australia, yada, yada, yada. But there's more to the story. There's got to be more to the story. I hope there's more to the story because it's Shawn Michaels, my favorite wrestler of all time. And I'm deeply invested and I don't want to know what to, I don't know who to pick.
I don't know if I can. Beyond, I really, just boiling it down, all right? Taking all the factors out of it and boiling it down to Taker and Hunter, I want Taker to win. I will always pick Taker to win because I love The Undertaker. He's what got me interested in wrestling, and he will keep me interested in wrestling because I will watch just in case he randomly shows up and decides to hurt someone. So just from that standpoint, I want it to be Taker. I want Taker to win just because I want Hunter to be pissed off that even though he stacked that deck against The Undertaker, Taker pulled it out again. And this is where it's like Triple H as corporate Triple H could come into play. Because Taker could win, Hunter could restart the match.
They're not going to pull that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm 100%. They're not going to pull that.
But just think about it. Hunter restarts the match. Sean, Sweet Chin Music, Pedigree, 1-2-3. Triple H beats The Undertaker.
They already have Baron Corbin doing that gimmick. They're not going to have Hunter do it.
Well, then you have Corbin come out and restart the match.
I mean, you could. I don't know.
But it's like, I want Taker to win just because I want that moment of Hunter standing there going, God damn it, I'm never going to beat The Undertaker. I'm never going to do it. Like, I just really kind of want that moment.
Yeah, Undertaker wins. I don't know.
I feel like you have to send the fans home happy. And either sending them home happy is The Undertaker winning.
Yeah, well, either way, it doesn't really matter. We'll see what the crowd is. What will play a big factor is what the crowd sounds like on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Because you never know. You never honestly know.
Somebody please get Mark Calloway a Twitter.
The 8-Ball picks The Undertaker. That's our show.
That's our show. All right. So, we will be right back because we're doing Fortnite with friends, so you don't want to miss that. But you have other stuff that you have to plug. So plug away.
Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. CBRealLive.com. CBRealLive on Facebook and Twitter. GreaterThanGreatTheMate.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio will review Super Showdown, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's a Raw post show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Total Divas Season 8, Episode 3, now available. Episode 4 will be available on Thursday. Available this Wednesday will be our interview with the Corsinis for Flip or Flop Atlanta. You'll be able to check it out that on Wednesday afternoon, RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, the WWE 2K19 launch party happens live on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow and subscribe. We're going to be doing some random matches. We're going to be doing some part of the career mode. What you miss live will be available in the on-demand section in twitch.tv/WTRLive. You can watch it there. We'll run replays on the channel when we're not live. So whatever you miss, it'll be in the replay form. So you'll be able to check that out. And then when so make sure you follow, subscribe, make sure that you hit the little notification bell so you can get the notification when we are live. Because we'll start at 11, we may take some breaks, come back, do some more at random points throughout the day, and probably throughout the weekend. So it's twitch.tv/WTRLive so you know when we go live for WWE 2K19, Fortnite, and all the podcasts live right here. twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's at Wild Talk Radio, it's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, and if you like to make picks, pick them. Do the pick up command in chat or go to facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter and really all the socials at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. And if you want to check out my artwork, you can go check out my Behance, behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitters. Like Rock said, don't forget next week we have our interview with the Corsinis coming. It was super fun to talk to them again. Big thanks to HGTV, let's not fumble that, for that interview. We had a blast. I hope they did too. So everybody, again, next Wednesday afternoon, it's going to drop. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack. Don't forget to check out the fine sponsors, MBG Films, FightBoot.com, and Gerwick.net. We will be right back because we're going to do Fortnite with friends. We got to squad up. So till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.